Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting at the roundtable this morning with mothers and daughters around the world, and with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, as we come another Saturday morning to say what the Lord has placed on our hearts and to share those thoughts with you, and hopefully it be a blessing to someone. And when you hear it and it tugs on your heart, then you can always, you know, it's going to tell you, you know, Mary and her daughter need to hear this. Mary and her daughter is having some problems, or, you know, I need to take this and take heed to it so that my daughter and I can have a better relationship. So we're here doing our due diligence, and hopefully we're reaching someone that would be blessed. I don't think God would have us do it for 10 years and someone is not being blessed. I mean, his word has to go forward, and it may seem like it's not reaching anybody, but it's not our problem. We are to do what God tells us to do, and then God's going to do the rest. If we all knew what God was doing, I don't know. The world might be even worse than what it is now, because we think we know, but do we really? We don't. That's why he's God, and we are his children and his servants to follow through. Let me go to the switchboard here. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Bessie. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
All is well in the neighborhood, as they say.
All right now.
And yourself, you sound like you're good this morning.
I am. You know, it's been an interesting week. It's been sort of a roller coaster, but I didn't tell the conductor to stop the roller coaster.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes you just got to ride it through. You can't get over it. You can't get around it. You got to go through it, darling. So we just continue to roll. I can relate. I've had an interesting week, and it was absolutely not so much as a roller coaster as it is just trying to stay in the frame of faith. You know, people say fake it till you make it. I say faith it till you make it. And so just trying to stay in that mindset where, you know what, I know God is in control. So it's okay. I just have to tell myself it's okay. It's okay.
Because there's nothing you can do about it. Because if you could do something about it, you try to do it, you know? So that's why I say, you know,
you would have done it by now.
This or not. right.
Yeah, you would have done it by now if you could do it.
Well, you're right. And even if it wasn't right, we'd have done it. You know what I mean? If you think you know, you're trying to make a mess out of something. You want to do the prayer for us this morning, Cynthia?
Absolutely. Dear Father, we come before you thanking you for this is the day that you have made. So, God, because you've made it, we ought to be glad in it. And that's according to your word. We thank you, Father God, for the heart and mind to stay the course and what you put before us. We thank you, Father God, for our due diligence. And, Father God, we can be doing anything this morning aside from sitting on this radio. But, Father God, because we believe that you've called us to such a task, here we are. And we just thank you for obedience, because obedience is better than sacrifice. We can be doing a whole lot of things and having a whole lot of stuff and trying to work a whole lot of jobs that you never intended for us to work. So I just thank you for due diligence. I thank you, Father God, for our fearless leader, Dr. Fletcher. I thank you, Father God, that because she is determined to stay, she gives and motivates me to stay as well. And I thank her for that. I thank you, Father God, for putting us together for such an awesome task. We thank you for all our radio co-hosts today that will join us, because we're all co-hosts once we come in and chime in. We thank you for Deborah and her presence, Father God, and that you put her with us as well. And we thank you for all the words of wisdom and knowledge that you give us to share for our listening audience. But Father God, we know it is none of us, but all of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us in order to give us anything of value to give to anybody else. So we dare not take it for granted that it's us, knowing that it is the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. And so we thank you for that as well. We thank you for our Lord and Savior who died on the cross so that we may have this opportunity and a tree at the tree of life with you. And Father God, with all of that, I say thank you. In your Son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All righty then. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's, you know, life, when I'm talking to some of the ladies, when they call in from the center, the correctional center, I'll say, so the audience will know what I'm talking about. I'm constantly telling them, you know, every day, they're thinking that when they get out, things are going to be so much different. You'll be in a different place, but life is still going to be lived, and life is going to have.
Come on now.
And to live it is to have experiences. There's not a day that goes by that you're not going to have some type of experience that you're going to have to really think about and chime in on and go to God about. That's where you should go. But, you know, sometimes they're thinking that, you know, when I get out of here, I'm not going to be under somebody's control and I'm going to be able to have my own life back and, you know, all these types of things. No. You're never going to have your own life, and you need to know, because your life belongs to God, and he's the one that's expecting you to do. He is the boss. This little girl is a little commercial little girl said, "You're not the boss of me." Well, there is a boss for you. You know what I mean? You need to know who your boss is and then act accordingly. But, yeah, there's always going to be a challenge, and I always just say, Lord, you know, I just know that you got it, and that's always my word. You got it. You got it. So I'm just going to just ride on through this day. You got it. And I have to do that, and guess what? God blessed me with a day, and I go to bed at night and wake up the next morning. He blessed me with another day, and, you know, pretty much yesterday, it's not as hard as it was yesterday, today as it was yesterday on whatever issue that I was trying to process. So just do it and keep moving. But anyway, that's my take on it right now, and I'm going to come right back to you. I can hear some sounds going on, something there. I'll get back with you in a little bit, Cynthia. Appreciate you.
Okay. All righty.
All right. That's my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. Let's go back over here to... get back on my format here. I had to create a new format. The enemy wanted to get rid of my format, and I couldn't find my original. I thought, well, maybe it was time to change. You know, sometimes we don't realize it's time for an update. And so sometimes life will make you update. Stuff is there, but it won't come up. I'm like, what do you mean this year it won't come up? Well, think about it. I said, okay, then that must be time for an update. That's all I can do. Let me just do another one and keep it going. You know, you have to try to look all day for something that's not, it's telling you that's not there. It's not the format. So keep it moving. All righty, so let's go here. Let me go back again to the top of the show here. And for the newcomers, I'll say it again. Good morning. And you are now visiting us, Cynthia Oliver and myself, Dr. Bessie Fletcher here on the Roundtables, where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. The Roundtables allow us to talk to mothers and daughters around the world. Around the world. That's the interesting piece. That's the internet. God allows us to create the internet for what? To reach each other around the world in seconds. In seconds. How? I mean, if that ain't God, somebody tell me what is. You know, to reach someone around the world in sometimes less than a second, because if you email in or text, and I mean, it just, I would say a second, boom, it's there. So the show is brought to you by the Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries, and you can reach me, Dr. Bessie, at mdbn.org or at drbessie1, D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, at gmail.com. Now, last week, our topic was mothers and daughters, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Now, that was an interesting topic. And God has blessed me to write for the South Florida Times. And, you know, normally I'm asking God, okay, what are we writing about this week? Last week, God told me to write that and send it and send that message out. So I did. And it's interesting because what we do, we unconsciously, in most cases, open our mouth and say yes to something before we think it through. And then once we've said yes, and the person that's holding us responsible, then you think, oh, my God, I should have thought about that. I can't do that. Why did I say yes? Oh, my goodness. Now, how many times have we done that? How many times? Just quick to say yes. And when God tells us what? You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. So how are you going to promise somebody something that you're not sure if you're going to be here on the earth to do it? Because tomorrow is not promised to you. But we do it unconsciously. But once you realize, that's why I hear people say, if God's willing, you know. And it took me a long time to understand why people say, well, you know, could you come over next week and do so-and-so-and-so? Well, if God's willing. And some people say it just rolls out of their mouth. Do they understand what they're saying all the time? I hope so. Because some things can become a cliche, just saying it to be saying it, because we heard somebody else say it. But where is it in your heart? Where does it stand in your heart? Because that's all that matters. But then I kept thinking about it and adopting it into my saying. I don't say it as often as I should, but it's in my spirit. I know what it means. And that's why I'm slow to answer. I may not say the words, but I'm saying in my heart, let me think about this. Let me pray on it. Let me ask the Lord if this is what I'm supposed to do. A lot of times I say, okay, let me get back to you, and then we'll see. Because I don't have to tell them what I'm doing. I don't have to tell anybody that I'm going to God. A lot of times people are talking to me, and they're proposing something to me, and I'm talking to God while they're talking. Because I'm like, well, Lord, is this something that you want me to do? And I'm listening. I'm looking right at them. I hear them, but I'm still talking to God so that I can give them an answer. And so, well, you just gave an answer. They think I hadn't thought about it, but I thought about it. Because, see, I don't serve man. I serve God. So I don't have to say anything to man. All I got to do is just talk to God. And, God, what do you think? And God's going to talk to me while you're talking. And he's going to tell me yeah or nay. And whatever his yeah or nay is what I'm going to do. So, not that I'm perfect at it, not that I got it down to a fine art, I'm just working on it. I'm trying every day to get better and better at it. That's what I'm saying. That's all we got to do, mothers and daughters, is just start the process. Just start working on it. to start thinking about things before we speak. Because once I tell somebody I'm going to do something, it's hard for me to back off of it. Because, first of all, I feel guilty. I feel bad. I feel like I've lied. And that's a hard process for me. Because I don't want to say I'm going to do it and then don't do it. And a lot of times I, you know, get to talking real fast and not looking at my calendar and tell somebody, oh, yeah, we can do it at 2 o'clock. And forgot I told somebody else to call me at 2 o'clock. And I found myself into that situation, those situations last week. You know, all of a sudden my life is getting busy and I'm making these appointments. And then I got the women at the correctional center calling. And they have an appointment, and it just got so crowded last week. I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, and I thought, Bessie, you have got to do better because I want to address the women at the correctional center, and I'm trying to meet their needs because they have limited time on the phone. So whenever they say they can get to me, then I'm just like, okay, let me just take this time. And not looking at, you're not making appointments with other people, boom. Got into a twist last week, with, which I was thinking I was not going to be working last week. But anyway, long story short, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. We sometimes just say yes, and then you got to keep it. So I had to rearrange a lot of schedules last week, a lot of time things to meet the ones that I know. And some, the Lord just helped me out with a couple people. You know, they called me and say, you know, can we reschedule? I'm like, ooh, thank you, Lord, for helping me out, because he knew my heart was in the right place. He knew my heart was in the right place. And see, that brings us to our stimulating topic today, mothers and daughters, undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. God gave me undeserved favor last week. He knew my heart was in the right place, and he knew I was trying to meet with the people that I need to meet with for the ministry. He knew I had to meet with the ladies from the correctional center. He knew I had counseling with other mothers and daughters. But all of a sudden, it was just a week that reminded me when I opened up my practice years ago. So opening up a practice and trying to keep up with all this stuff, it just got really busy without an administrative assistant. So, you know, I'm juggling, and God just gave me favor. He had some people call me and say, you know, Dr. Fletcher, I'm going to have to change this. Can we do it next week? And I was like, thank you, Lord, because I was going to have to call and shift some things around because I did not take the time to look at it. I wrote it down, but I didn't look at it when I spoke to the ladies at the center. Doesn't make a difference. I said yes, and I had to figure out how to make it happen. So last week, like I said, we talked about letting your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, when we make a promise to our daughters, this is what we were talking about last week, God hears us, and he expects us to do what we say we're going to do. We can't just say anything and just walk away and think that God didn't hear us. It's not so much about the person that you're making the promise to. When you really get it, you have to realize the promise that is being made, God hears it, and he's holding you responsible because he already told you. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So that's like, that's a commandment. That is an order. So when we break that, he hears it. Of course, he's such a loving God. He forgives us. That's how we get that grace and mercy. So, but he's expecting us to do what we say we're going to do. Because really, that's like a measuring point for us. If you can't keep your promise with your daughter, how can you keep your promise with God, someone you haven't seen? It's just like he said, how can you not love your brother? But yet you say, this is Jesus, yet you say you love me, someone you have not seen, but your brother who you see that you're walking around on the earth with, or your sister, your mother, your daughter, and you don't love them, but you love someone you haven't seen. he's trying to tell you it doesn't add up. So if you can't keep your promise to your daughter, whom you birthed and brought into this world, carried her for 9 months, went through all the pain and suffering to have her, and you can't keep your promises to her, how can you keep your promises to someone that you haven't seen? That'll give you something to think about. So if we lie to God, we'll lie to anybody. Because it takes a bold person to lie to God. And if you can get by with that, of course you can lie to man. You have no fear of man. But like I would say, because of Jesus, God gives us grace and mercy. See? And one of the phrases that people quite often, that know me quite often, hear me say, thank God for Jesus. And I mean that thing, thank God for Jesus. Because I don't know where I would be. I mean, you know, it's just thank God for Jesus. Jesus covered us, the sickness, you know, the attempts on our lives and the sins and the iniquities and things that we go through. And, you know, Jesus got us covered. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior, then you're under that covering. And that's what keeps us. Especially when we see God's favor in our life. You know, now we all have seen God's favor. God has given us all grace and mercy at some time or the other. When there's something that happened and you know you was supposed to get by with that, you know that you could have gotten in trouble because of it, you know that he saved you from being harmed because you were someplace you wasn't supposed to be. You know that, and you just escaped, just barely escaped. God's grace and mercy. There's his grace and mercy. And we did not deserve it. So you can't deserve, you can't earn grace and mercy and favor. You can't. Because he gives it at his own discretion. And they say, favor ain't fair. They say, God is a fair and a just man. Oh, he's a fair and a just man. But his favor ain't fair. God gives favor to those that don't deserve it. And we all have gotten his grace and his mercy and his favor. Or we wouldn't be standing and walking around today and living and breathing because we are sinners, and it's just that without standing behind Jesus and him looking at us through the goodness of Christ, then, you know, where are we? We're sinners. He can't just look at us. So the goodness and mercy, thank God for Jesus. So, you know, when I look back and I see things that have happened, and I say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you, because I have a picture in my mind what could have been. And it's these times when it makes me reevaluate my relationship with God and make me repent for my sins. Like, Lord, please forgive me. I repent. You know, I want to clean it up. I don't want to leave that lying there once I've realized that the Holy Spirit is going to show you the errors of your ways. And you can't just walk away and don't be grateful and don't say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. This could have turned out differently. And I look now and we see the world and the way it's going, and God has allowed people to just go, go, go. And then once you get up around that 70 years old, I'm seeing a lot of people, their sins are catching up with them around 70 years old, you know, and their lives are changing. And you don't want that, mother and daughter. You don't want that. You wherever you are at this moment, we need to repent, clean it up, and get straight, because he said your sins will catch up with you. So look it up. What I'm saying to you today, I'm not going to do your Bible study for you. That's not what he told me to do. The Holy Spirit speaks. I was looking up some verses for you this morning, and didn't get to write them all down. But that's okay. You just go ahead and you go to the Lord and ask him for grace and mercy and ask him to forgive you. You know what you've done. I don't know what you is heavy on your heart. Mothers, maybe it's something you said that you need to clean up with your daughter. Daughter, there's something you said you need to clean up with your mother. You all know your relationship. Only God knows outside of you. And not only just the mother and daughter relationship, it's the relationship with other people. How can we love God when we don't love humans? And we can't be selective in the ones that we love. We have to love them all. Because we all are in the same. We're in this world together. Some of us are not of the world. Well, none of us are of the world. Let me say it like that. We can choose. How do we want to live? We want to live the kingdom life or we want to live the world life? We got a choice. You can choose. So let's look at grace. Grace is that unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. And this comes out of 2 Corinthians 12 and 8 through 9. You can kind of look there. But he says in there, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So when we're weak, that's when he extends his grace. You know, and Lord have mercy upon the mercy. See, God's goodness toward those, it's God's goodness toward those who has no claim or even no reason to expect divine favor. You know you were wrong. You know you did it. There's no excuse. See, you can fool man, but you can't fool yourself. You know within your heart that you've done wrong. And you know the guilt is eating away at you. Because it's constantly in your intro conversations, those ongoing conversations in your head. You wake up in the morning and it's talking to you. The minute you get, excuse me, a second just of silence to yourself, it'll pop back up in your head. It's constantly popping back up in that intro conversation. And that guilt is telling you, you know you were wrong. It's only reminding you of that wrongness to get you to repent. That's the only reason it's trying to remind you, the Holy Spirit is reminding you, you need to repent for this. You need to ask God to forgive you for this. And God will forgive you. But it's when we harden our hearts that it makes it difficult for us. And then sometimes you experience things in life that you didn't have to experience. It simply could have just gone and say, Lord, please forgive me. And I tell people, a lot of people when I'm talking to them, I tell them, I said, you know, that's what I loved about David, because when God said David's a man after my own heart, I wanted to know, what does that mean? What do you mean David's a man after your own heart? David was a man after your own heart. I need to know, what did David do? Because we all want to go after the heart of God. Who wouldn't want to be at the heart of God? So in my reading, I'm looking at, what did David do, Lord? He said David was quick to repent. He made many mistakes. He was a man and he acted like a man. He had women and wives and concubines and all kinds of things. Now, you know, that's a lot of repenting. But he must have kept repenting day in and day out. I'm telling you, God says he's a man after my own heart. So, I mean, God can't lie, and God knows who's after his heart. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. Every strand of hair on your head is numbered. He knows all about you. He made you, blew his breath into your body. So if David was a man after his own heart and he wanted us to know that, then repentance is the key. Go quickly. Don't let it settle, because if you let it settle into your unconscious mind, then your unconscious mind will react in ways unbeknown to you. you'll do some things and then wonder, how in the world? What happened? How did that happen? I just passed 12 stoplights. I didn't even know. And now all of a sudden I'm here. You'll be somewhere just quickly and not even, it's like a daze. You pass through it. Your unconscious mind just takes over. And can you imagine how many people are riding around on the streets, driving their cars in an unconscious state of mind? So if we don't have our unconscious mind prepared with the word of God, the unconscious mind can lead us into places that we don't even know why we're there, what brought us to this point. So when we're talking about God's undeserved favor, we're talking about grace and mercy, and favor ain't fair. So, Cynthia, I'm opening it up so we'll be live, and then we're going to discuss back and forth. You there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, Sephora, what is your take on that?
Well, you know, if you really think about God's undeserved favor, according to Scripture, it tells us that, you know, that none of us are deserving. But by that same token, when we learn to, as you stated, David had the heart of God, that was at the heart of God. And because he was quick to repent, that gave him favor with God. And so when we learn to live according to Scripture, we too, I think God gives us that unmerited favor. But if we wait until we think we deserve something, we will never move into that space of knowing that God loves us despite our errors and our ways. And so when I hear people say, well, I don't deserve it. Well, if I don't deserve it, then everything Jesus has done for us, all of the pain and suffering that he went through, then he went through it all in vain. Because if you're moving towards God the way David was, and David was far from perfect. If anybody knows the story of David, he was far from perfect. He committed adultery. He had the man's wife killed as a result of it, but yet he still had God's favor. And mm-hmm. because he was quick to repent for his indiscretions, he found favor with God. So we can all find favor with God if we're living according to God's word. But you can't continue to be in a behavior repetitively and thinking that you're going to have God's favor. I don't care how many times you repent. Because, yes, God forgives us and it's thrown into the sea and all of that. But God will allow some consequences to come to us when we continue to do the same thing when we have asked him to forgive us of that thing that got us in that trouble in the first place. And it's the same thing in relationship with people. How can I continue to disappoint my daughter, telling her, promising her to do things, and I break my promise every time? I'm not there when I say I'm going to be there. I don't do what I say I'm going to do. Then you wonder why you have a problem with your daughter? She can't trust you. God can't trust us when we fail to move towards him when we have repented. People don't understand that word repent simply means to turn. Turn from that way and move in my way, and then you're going to have favor with me.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that when mothers get in the habit of being who they say they are and being who God has created them to be, then we can start to bridge these relationships, these broken relationships with our children. When a child, I don't care how old she is, when she can't trust you, you are the one who is causing the breakdown in this relationship, mothers. God has given them to you, and you have a responsibility to win favor with your child. Nobody can't do that for you. That's my take on it, Dr. B.
And to win favor with your child, it's not through lip service. To win favor with your child is she needs to see. Your actions need to match what you say. Because,
absolutely.
You know, I've seen so many times where when a client is in my office and especially a young girl, when I have them there about 7, 8 to 12 years old, there's something different about that age group because they really, really are getting that on that shell. And I can see it even with a little 5-year-old how the shell is beginning to form around her because of the things that she say. Well, my mommy say this and my mommy do that and my mommy don't do what she say she gonna do. You know, little. That's just putting on the, it's a shield. And by the time they're 12 years old, everything you say to come out of your mouth, they're looking at you rolling their eyes like, well, she just lying. And you not even knowing that your daughter's building a wall between the two of you. And then when she gets 12 or 13 and start talking back, then all of a sudden you just like, what in the world? I don't know what happened to that girl. You know, all of a sudden she's talking to me like she's crazy. You know, because what? She's getting to the point where she says, I don't have to be here much longer. I'm going to take my chance. I'm going to say what I have to say. And now you got a problem, but the problem didn't start today. The problem started some days ago, years ago. And you didn't even notice because you were too busy doing what you were doing for you. So, yes, it is. You know, you get
and
favor from your daughter.
And that's that consequence, Dr. Fletcher.
Yeah.
That's the consequence
yeah,
of a broken relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you're going to get it. I mean, you know, if you don't see the errors of your ways, then you're going to actually experience something to get your attention. I was talking to a young man yesterday, and in the conversation, we were talking about an individual and the things that they're going through and how he wanted them to go to God to know, to be able to trust God more. And I told him, I said, you know, I understand that, but, you know, God may be allowing these things to happen because, you know, one is going to church, the husband is going to church, the wife don't want to go, and now all of a sudden she's going through some trials and tribulations, and he's like, I'm trying to tell her, if you come to God, you know, God's going to take care of this, but, you know, we can tell her, but she's got to come to God and get it, you know what I'm saying, and God is going to allow her to go through something so she can see his goodness. And there's nothing that we can do to stop those things. Because if we could, we would have. We would intercept sickness to our children and we would intercept, you know, accidents and things to those that nature if we had that power. But, you know, even ourselves, and we all go through and we all have had that, I call it my little spankings. You know, I get a good little spanking, I go somewhere and sit down. I'm like, okay, Lord, that doesn't feel good, and I'm going to correct this. Because I don't want to have to go back through that again. And that'll get your attention. So grace and mercy.
That's just like the, I'm sorry. That's just like the going around the mountain. You don't like it, but you keep doing the same thing. It has to be something where God gets your attention. I mean, really, think about that.
Yeah.
You keep giving the same promises. You promise the child you're going to be there. You have every excuse in the world. We have every excuse in the world, Dr. Fletcher, for not walking up righteous and doing the thing that God would have us to do. But God don't care that about your excuses. He's going to allow you to face those consequences. He's going to get your attention one way or the other. You can keep going around the mountain. He good. But I tell you one thing. When you get tired of them spankers, as you say, you will do something different. And until you determine to do something different, you're going to always get the same result. Your marriage ain't going to be right. Your relationship with your children ain't going to be right. You're going to feel guilty and not because you're not walking with God. Because guilt is not of God. Guilt is of the enemy. God convicts. The enemy condemns. And guilt comes out of condemnation, feeling guilt, feeling down on yourself and all that stuff. That is not of God. That is of the enemy. But if God has touched your heart and he's allowed you to go through some consequences and you still ain't got it, hey, baby, he ain't got nothing but time. One day is 1,000 days to him and 1,000 days is a day. So he ain't got nothing, but he just like, keep going, boo. I love you. I got you. But guess this, sis, keep going around that mountain, sis. Go around, daughter. Go around, son. I'll just let you keep doing it as long as you want to do it.
Yeah, he's
because
sitting there.
I'm just looking at you. Just looking at you.
Look at him.
Yeah.
When would they realize? And can you imagine God looking at the children of Israel and they're going round and round and round and round? And he's so gracious, even though they was mumbling and complaining, and they decide, you know what, we're going to build our own God. And we're just going to do it our way. And God was looking at them. But yet,
a 40-day trip.
He gave them,
it was supposed to be 40 days. How long did it take them?
No, it's 12 days. It's a 12-day trip.
Okay. And it,
12 days,
it
took 40 years. 40 years.
That's an interesting concept. Sometimes we just
don't
get it. There is nothing like an old fool. Boy, that thing gets old. That thing gets old. Keep facing that same consequence. Keep bumping your head against the same thing. I used to use this analogy with the girls at the center. And I used to literally walk into the door multiple times, and nobody would say anything. If you see me walking into the door every day and nobody's saying anything, please stop me because I'm going to eventually hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't even realize what you're doing and people are not saying anything because everybody want to be and nobody wants to get into confrontation, so nobody's going to say anything about the cray-cray. And so you just keep letting your loved one walk into that wall over and over and over and not saying a word. But guess what? Daddy, our Heavenly Father, will let you walk into that wall over and over until you get it.
Yep. And it was because of Moses, really, that they God found favor and gave them mercy because of Moses. Because, like, he was getting ready to just wipe him up. Moses said, please, Lord. You know, Moses, you know, stood in the gap for him, and I guess he was trying to figure it all out himself. He's going back and forth talking to God, and they're down there acting a fool, and, you know, he's trying to tell him, and then got him so frustrated.
And he's
struck the wall, the rock, and instead of doing what God told him, God said, well, just for that, you're not going in. Now, you know, out of all that Moses does, when you think you're so good, you ain't all that good, because out of all that Moses done, and God said, you would not go into the promised land. So you know how that must have made him feel? God, you'll see it, but you won't enter. And so they came out with what? They came out rich. They came out with the same clothes on, the same shoes, and nothing was worn or torn on them. Now, if that ain't God's grace and favor. And so,
well, come on now.
They did all that, and God forgave them through the man of Moses. But see, now that we have Jesus, if we don't go to Jesus, we can't depend on Moses. We can't depend on Paul, Luke, John, Matthew, Thomas, Tim, none of those people. Ruth, Naomi, we can't depend on Esther. We got to go to Jesus now. Those days are past. Those are the instructional days. But that grace and that mercy and that favor only comes through one person, and that's Jesus. So mothers and daughters, when you're out there and you're thinking that you can do any and everything that you want to do and bypass Jesus, it is not going to happen, because he already told you, ain't but one way you're going to get to me, and that's through my son. And people can call it what they want. Either you believe the Bible or not. If you believe the Bible, then you got to repent before Jesus Christ in order for God to give you grace and mercy to the extent that,
But Dr. Plessy, you said something very important there. You said something that they came out. They came out with not a tattered shoe or tattered clothing. But you know what? Unfortunately, we as a people, we never stop to look at the small things to gain the perspective that this is God.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's looking for the big things and all of the frills and fabulousness of what we consider the world, what it should be, that we know that is God. But when you get in the habit of recognizing the smallest thing, recognizing that is God's favor, you will do something different because you're so grateful for God's favor that you'll get in the habit of recognizing that it's God. Because everybody thinks, okay, God is sovereign until he lets some stuff happen. But everybody thinks he's, won't he do it? And all this stuff when he do something what we've been waiting for. Do you thank him for allowing you to go through that trial and tribulation and you came out on the other side? Do you ever look back to think about those things? Do you look back to see where you was with your daughter 5 years ago as to where you are right now? Do you recognize those increments of mercies and grace that you can know that it was God all by himself that brought you to this place, to this next level of journey in your life? We get in the habit of looking for big things, stuff to say God is sovereign. But when he allow you to experience life, all of a sudden he ain't so good no more.
Mm-mm.
It is in those times that we have our greatest victories because we recognize if it had not been for God that was on my side, I don't know how I would have got through that. Because you can freaking lose your freaking mind when God allows life to happen because life happens to everybody. I tell the girls all the time, you ain't special in that sense. Everybody goes through trials and tribulations. Everybody has some brokenness in their lives and relationships. But it's going to be up to you to change the trajectory of your life. Don't worry about other people's lives. If you change the trajectory of your life, you start to look around and look at the goodness and grace of God in your life. And if you ain't doing that, if you're not taking inventory of the small things, all that frills and the stuff that you want, it means nothing to you.
There you go. Always looking for the big and the miraculous and not even seeing the miracles that really keep you breathing every day. Just to wake up and breathe. That's the miracle for the day. Then you're walking. You're walking, you're talking. You're being able to see, being able to hear. You know, when I went through the problem
being
with
able
my
to
eyes,
have normal body function.
Oh, Lord, child, please, let me tell you. I'm telling you, you really don't recognize that something go wrong. We just walking around like we got the world on a string and just yo-yoing all over the place with it. But I'm here to tell you, you let that arm get broken or that something happen to that arm or that hand and you can't yo-yo the world. All of a sudden, none of the world means anything. Nothing from the world means anything to you because you focus on that hand and that arm that you can't use every time you twist your arm. And well, you know, that's a scenario, but you live that real life. I didn't think about that. You live real life.
Oh, yeah.
Of experiencing that.
Yeah, man, When you can't use your wrist, I still can't use this wrist properly to this day. But I thank God that I'm still able to use my wrist. But you know what? God is so good that he gave me another hand. I learned to write with my left hand, and I was thankful for that. Can you imagine the people without arms at all, and they learn to write with their mouth and their feet, and you got an excuse why you ain't doing what you need to do? Come on. Don't recognize the gifts of God. I think of all the things I can think about Heavenly Father being disappointed with us with, I think it's those things that I have visions of God just sitting in heaven and just looking down and saying and shaking his head because he gives us so much favor. He gave us Jesus in order that we can make our way back to him. But we are so bent on being part of this world that we don't embrace the real world. and that's eternal, the internal world, the spiritual things of what God would have us to receive while we're here so we can make it on the other side. Man, let me tell you something. I tell God, and I am true to this. God, if you ever give me anything and I treasure it more than you and our Lord, just take it from me because I don't want it. Mm-hmm. I tell my kids and my husband all the time, if it, because of what I do and how I do it, everything I do is around what God has called me to do. If it comes to God and y'all, he going to win every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, because if it was not being for the Lord that was on my side, I wouldn't be here, and neither would y'all. So I'm sorry if I choose him over you, but I will always do what he's called me to do over anything that I desire to do or think I need to do. And if you know what, Dr. Fletcher, I really do believe it's hard for me to find a position in this new season in my life because I'm trying to I'm seriously, and this stays on my resume, because I need to find a position that's going to give me the flexibility to do the call of my life. Everything that I do it around what God has called me to do. Even though David erred, take it back to the story of David. Even though David erred, he was quick to repent and move back into to what God has called him to do. And that be the king that he called him to be. And all of his errors, he served God in it all. And he was quick to repent when he messed up. So people think you got to be perfect, and that's where that perfectionism come in. And that messes a lot of us up too, trying to be perfect, trying to be good. God ain't never called you to be good because he created you good. He called you to be in obedience. And when we're not in obedience according to his word, when it comes to relationship, when it comes to being who he's called us to be, then we're going to have a problem up in here.
That is it in a nutshell. You wrap that right on up, because I'm telling you, I used to say it all the time, and you remember me. I used to say it all the time. If someone jumped up to me, the first thing I cry out, Lord, I'm a good person. You know, I can't understand why somebody would do that. I'm a good person, you know, and I'm looking at, I'm trying to do the best I can. And one day my daughter just said, Mama, why do you keep saying that? Jesus was a good person, and they crucified him. Then stopped on a dime. And I saw that picture, and I think, yeah, because in my mind, in my heart, I was trying to go to God and say, God, why? Because I'm a good person. Good, and then it went right back to what Jesus said. Why does that call me good?
Call me good? Ain't but one good.
Yeah,
and
one, and that's the Father. So, you know, I'm like, how dare? But see, we get caught up in our stuff, and that was that's what I used to justify why, you know, to go to God. I stopped. That was it for me. So that's why I said, mothers and daughters, don't think that you, because you're the mother, that you have the answer to everything. You know, if you raised your daughter right, and I raised my daughter to believe in Christ, and she was saved at an early age, 16. And it wasn't because of me she was saved, it was because of her, and a lot of it came from her great-grandmother, who had her reading the Bible, I think, before she could even really talk. And I wasn't doing that back then, so I can't take anything from Grandma Brown. And so this, she had done put into Angie all kinds of seeds. But I would go to my daughter and get from her, because, I mean, really, she had that thing, that relationship with God down pat. I thought I had a good relationship with God, but it doesn't mean that I have all the answers. When she told me that, I took heed to that, because that made sense. And it just hit my spirit. And I said, well, you know what, Angie? You're right. And then I realized how foolish I was. But then, you know, God had grace and mercy on me because he knew I ain't know no better. And I didn't mean it that I was so good I was better than God. I was just trying to justify why people was doing me wrong when I wasn't doing anything to them. But then I learned, you know, that's a part of life. It's a part of tribulation. So when somebody do me wrong now, I just say, you know, hey, God, you said you take care of my enemies.
You
said you take care of
what you're working with.
And move on. Yeah.
Yeah. And we got to know what we're working with. When we think people are doing us wrong, it ain't even got nothing to do with you. Get over yourself. It's all about them. It's not even about us when people do us wrong. People do what they do because, like you said, they don't know no better. Because I truly believe if a person knows better and they really reverence God, see, we say we fear God, but we don't really fear God because if you don't do anything, you don't fear God. If you do what you know that God is not pleased with, you don't fear God. You can't.
No.
So, you know, it's
Ananias
and
Sapphira. It's a fire.
Come on now, because they truly didn't know what they were doing. I like to say, them bones drunk.
Man, you don't need a lot of Bible verses to get you straight. You just need a couple good ones. You know what I mean?
I read that Bible story, and I'm going to give the audience that Bible scripture so they can read it for themselves.
Yeah, but I'm telling you that is and the thing about it was they didn't know that they were actually speaking to the Holy Spirit. They didn't know that. And so God ain't asking you to make him no promises. God's not asking you to make him promises. We make promises. And see, God said whatever he said, his word will not go void. So if his word is not going to go void, then that means it's true. But he did not say, you need to make me a promise. But when you go up there making God promises and then think that you're going to renege on them, you know, thank God for Jesus. Now we got Jesus to intercede for us and hopefully, but God still, I don't have time to even tell it. But God will pull your coattail when you make him a promise and you don't keep it.
That is Acts chapter 5. If you want to know how God will take you, will handle you when you have opened your mouth in knowing that you're doing wrong, God will take care of you. And that is in Acts 5. Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and wife. that story changed my life, Dr. Fletcher. I'm telling you, I've never been big online anyway. I always felt funny about it, even when I didn't know nothing about Jesus. But when I read that put me, I'm real careful. I'm good. So, mothers, think about it. When you make those promises to those babies and you ain't keeping those promises, you think you're making a promise to those kids, but God has given you responsibility over those kids. So you're making that promise to God, and he's holding you responsible for every lie you tell.
Yeah, every word. He said every word. You have to answer for every word when you get to him. Every word. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Every word, I need to shut my mouth because I do a lot of talking. That's a revelation to me right there. I think I'm going to start shutting my mouth and saying less because I have a lot of words to ask him for when I get there. All right.
Yeah. He said that we will answer to every deed, good or bad. We will answer to him on judgment day. So, ladies, be careful.
Yes.
Mothers, be careful because God is holding us responsible, especially if he has given us children. We have a huge responsibility, and it's not something you can get around, so don't play with it. Thank you for allowing me to share that to be.
You have a great show, Cynthia. Hold on 1 minute. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's our show, Cynthia. We'll see you next week. Mothers and daughters, we'll see you next week.
Right.
Talking to mothers and daughters at the round table here
on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye, audience. Love you, Dr. B.
Love you, too.